bullying occurs in a context where there's real or perceived imbalance of power. It's not about anger or conflict. It's bullying is really about intolerance towards differences with an intent to harm.
Okay.
It's that imbalance of power. I have the right to hurt you because I believe I can, that you are lesser than me. And that's and so bullying is not about it's not about anger. It's about I'm better and I have the right to do that.
So, working with the schools and that type of thing, do you see an increase or a decrease in bullying? What is that trend like?
That's a difficult question because I believe that we are becoming more in tune, that we are aware of the bullying that's happening out there. And bullying is not just in children. Bullying is across ages, across professions, across genders, and bullying is out there everywhere. And there are things that bullying is not. And so as a society, when we become more aware of bullying, we need to be careful to not call everything bullying. So every disagreement or every conflict is not bullying. Bullying is when there is an imbalance of power. And if it's two individuals who are having a disagreement, that's not to say that we don't need to deal with that, but it's not necessarily bullying. And we need to treat it differently. We need to treat it and deal with it appropriately.
So how much do you deal with that in the schools?
I think all schools are dealing with bullying on a regular basis. And their ways to deal with bullying are there are a lot of different ways. There's prevention and there's education and that comes into that character development. And then there is dealing with an actual situation. And we can use restorative practices to assist with that. We can empower the individual who's being bullied to be able to stand up for themselves, to be able to access supports. When someone is bullying someone else, often assisting that individual in pro-social positive leadership skills as opposed to the negative.
Okay.
Because that person is using their power to gain some control and using those negative leadership skills in a hurtful way. And if we can change that to be pro-social and positive, then we can help the person who is bullying to change how they are communicating and working with others.
So you're working with the bullies as well as those who are being bullied?
Absolutely.
Now, do you have any, and I know it's probably difficult to quantify, but any sort of statistics on how much bullying actually happens at the schools?
I don't. I have statistics in mental health and mental illness.
Okay.
I don't have statistics around bullying.
Okay.
And I think because there's a lot of confusion around what is bullying, and if we call everything bullying, then it would seem like there's a lot, but not everything, not all of those conflicts are truly bullying, and so we need to separate those.
Now, when it comes to mental health, are mental health or people who have mental illnesses or disabilities or difficulties, are they at a greater risk to be bullied?
Yes, as anyone who is marginalized in some way. So mental health is a continuum. So we go from good mental health to a mental health problem and then to a mental illness. And everyone struggles with mental health at some point in their life. There's stressors that everybody has. And it's when those stressors spill over that we can create a mental health problem. And if we don't seek out treatment or get help, then that can become a mental illness or a mental health problem or a mental disorder. It's really about those thoughts and feelings, and when does it interfere with our ability to function on a day-to-day basis. So when we're in good mental health, we have our strengths, we're resilient, and we have our attachments to others. And those are really key in maintaining good mental health. If we're stressed at home or school or work, or we're feeling burned out or anxious, then our strengths are diminished, our resiliency is diminished, and if we don't have relationships or people that we can connect with, then we don't have that attachment piece, which can be a real lifesaver for many people. So when those are diminished and we end up with a mental health problem, then easily, if it's not helped, we move into an illness or a disorder.
Now, do people with mental health illnesses or disorders react differently to bullying? Does it have a different impact on them?
I wouldn't want to specify that it's because someone has a mental illness or a disorder or a mental health problem that it's different for them. I think anyone who is bullied, that can create huge anxieties, self-esteem issues, feeling alone, especially when we believe that no one is there to help us. So if a child is being bullied and there are bystanders, and that's where another really big piece of where we can make a difference is with the bystanders, is that education piece. So if I'm being bullied and the bystanders around are saying nothing or doing nothing, then the message that I get from that is that what the bully is saying or doing is okay. And we know that that's not true. But that's what I hear. That's the message I get when no one supports me or helps me. Now, if the bystanders were egging someone on, that message is even stronger. But it's a silent message when people don't stand up to bullying. Then that person feels very much alone. And then it's harder for them to reach out for help. It's harder for them to develop those attachments and believe in the strengths that they innately have, and to build that resiliency. And that resiliency is really critical. If we can teach that silent majority to become a caring majority, to be able to stand up to bullying, and that's a hard thing to do. And when we try to work with kids around this, and try and teach them to be that one person to stand up. I say, you have to understand, I know I'm asking the world of you to be able to stand up and speak out. And yet that the kids see what is happening more so than the adults. And it's the adults who people believe have the control and the ability to do something, but those peers can make such a difference by standing up. But that's a hard thing to do. It's a scary thing to do. And often they don't, because they're afraid themselves. They don't want to be bullied. They don't want to be called names. They don't want to be picked on. And I understand that.